CliffCentral.com.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
I missed your song.
She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
So, Anthea, how was your break, first of all, before we get into numbers?
Good morning, Gareth. It was okay. I stayed in Joburg, went to Pilansburg for a bit. I went to a friend's farm for a bit. It was good. Back and forth. So, of course, with this whole Steinhoff thing, none of us really
took... I was going to
say,
you didn't bump into Marcus Huerster, did you?
No, Marcus Huerster was off somewhere selling his racehorses, I'm afraid.
All 20 of them. How many does he have?
350. Apparently, he is the second largest horse owner after the Prince of Saudi.
Wow.
Well, not anymore. So he's selling them because he needs the money.
Yeah. Mm. And in fact, if you would like to buy a Gulfstream Jet 2006 model, that's also up for sale. $25 million. I think Cliff Central needs one. What do we say?
Oh, wow.
I look like Marcus Huerster.
I mean, you could look like Marcus Huerster.
No, I'm not in that.
If we put in a bit of work on you, $25 million.
Isn't this amazing? Because we always look at rich people and go, oh, well, they never have to worry about money again. And here he is, like, wildly selling everything he can because, and of course, he's got jail looking him in the face.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, things go really badly. So. It's not always, this is where you can be happy with your little job and your little salary and your little car. And
unless, of course, you're working for Steinhoff, in which case you're a little bit nervous. That's
of course
the problem, right?
And didn't their CFO quit the other day?
That's right. Ben Lagrange stepped down, apparently to fix the 2.4 billion euro hole in their balance sheet. I mean, if anybody knows or anybody should know where that hole came from or how it's going to be fixed, it should be him, right? So yeah. I guess that's why they kept him on initially. But, you know, they've now restated, and this is what's driving the market a little bit crazy. They've restated, not only have they not put out their 2017 results, they've restated 2016 and said that they're restating 2015. And these are supposed to be audited financial results. These are the things that people like me rely on. We look for, we go through the numbers and we say, oh, yes, this is good, this is not good, this is how it goes, right? Now they're saying, you know, all that work you did, all those hours of work you put in the last 2 or 3 years, forget about it. It's wrong.
No.
We made up everything.
Yeah, we lied to you, basically.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going in. So, for 2017, Steinhoff, in fact, was the worst performing share, 93% down. But this year so far, guess what? It's the best performing share.
How's that possible?
So, I think with all these restatements of financial results or financial statements, the market is kind of... I've kind of said, well, worst case scenario this, and now maybe it's not so bad. Cause
maybe
I don't know
maybe
if
now you buy while it's at a
no,
discount.
Don't buy. I don't buy, no.
But is that not perhaps what's driving the price up?
Yes, so that is what's potentially driving the price up. Because before Christmas, when this all kind of unfolded, we did an NAV calculation, and it came out at about 23 Rand a share. And I was talking to one of my friends, and he's like, well, in that case, I'm going to buy. So he went and bought at 16 Rand a share. I was like, no, you don't do that because you don't actually know. This could be worse than 2015. This could go back all the way to 2010. It could go back for 20 years of Marcus Huerster being the CEO of Steinhoff. Like, you don't actually know how bad it is.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah. And, of course, I don't know if we spoke after the situation, but Christo Wiss has stepped down as chairman, obviously, as not only executive, but as chairman as well. Heather Sun, who I think you know because she was also at our hashtag invest launch in November 2016, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's taken over, and now, of course, Ben Lagrange stepped down, and there's just drama nonstop. I tell you, the one little bright spark, and maybe this is why the share has bounced a little bit. I mean, it doesn't really justify a 30% bounce, but Poundland, which is their UK business, reported fairly good Christmas shopping numbers. So volumes up 6%, or revenue up 6%, much better than the expected kind of 3.5-4%. The negative on Steinhoff is that Moody's downgraded them further into junk status. So it really is. You know, if you're going to play with Steinhoff, I would say caveat emptor. I mean, just buyer beware. This is it's a dangerous stock to be playing with. You don't know what's happened. As we are today, we still don't know how bad. And I want to say fraud, but apparently it's still accounting irregularities. You know, nobody's been done for fraud yet.
Mm-hmm.
How bad the, in inverted commas, accounting irregularities are.
But what is it really?
We don't know. Well, whether it's fraud or accounting irregularities.
Yeah, why can't they make up their mind on what this is?
Because I think this will take at least a year to investigate.
Formal charges have to be brought up. Now the investigators have to go and look at the actual books, see how much lying took place.
Yeah.
It's going to be very messy.
It is. It's ugly.
So what's Christo Visa selling?
ShopRite shares. He sold 4 billion rands worth of ShopRite shares before Christmas. I mean, I know it's terrible. The man's now worth only 2.3 billion rand. Or dollars, isn't it?
Oh, shame.
It's terrible, right? All that money.
That's where I saw some people outside of Lawrenceford with begging bowls. Is that his family or are they all right?
No, I think that's probably his two daughters and his son.
Okay.
Because surely they can't still keep their board seats on all the other companies. They probably do, though, right? Because they've got all the board seats on all the companies.
Okay, well, there's an argument against nepotism right there.
Yeah. So we need to, while we're talking about like what's happened in the year, we need to talk about 2017 because we haven't actually, right, who the top performers were. Because the JSE last year added 17.5% for the year. I mean, you wouldn't have said it with all the negativity. And remember how we started the year so badly and it was all terrible. And through the year, we kind of just picked up. And the shares that performed, Kumba Iron Ore up 138% for the year.
Wow.
Naspers up 72% for the year. Yay to us. Discovery, yay to us, up 62% for the year. Some other notables as well. Richemont was up 27%. Banks didn't do too badly. First Rand and Standard Bank were up about in the 20%.
I saw your friend Johan Rupert for New Year.
Oh, and how was he?
I mean, what did you say for Richemont? 27%?
Yeah. Was he buying drinks?
Yeah.
Better be.
Yeah, he paid for the whole party. He paid for the party, actually. Yeah.
Oh, good for him. I'm
sure it was all right, yeah.
And then the Rand was all of 11% stronger last year. Started the year at 13.74, closed the year 12.28. It's now about 12.31. And you know most of this is on the back of Cyril becoming president of the ANC and everyone being very hopeful about it.
What's the Rand at the moment?
12.31 to the dollar.
That's really good, huh?
Yeah.
Shows you what a difference it makes if you fire a bad person at the top.
Exactly. Well, he hasn't even been fired. You know what I mean? The president. But
everybody's talking about it.
Everybody's talking about this week.
NEC meeting on Wednesday. So on Thursday, when Justice comes in for the first burning platform of the year, we'll have lots to talk about.
I'm very excited to hear what Justice has to say about this, because I think this Rand is desperate for an 11 handle, like for a big number 11.
But would you actually take a position against?
Well, I have been. Not against. So this is why I was rather busy in December. I didn't take the time off completely because there was lots going on and I just couldn't do it. And basically, so I've upped our weightings in the local banks and local retailers. There you go.
Okay.
ShopRite, I bought some initially, but then I sold them out. I was really nervous of it. And it did have a nice little bounce on the first day we bought. Just take my profit and run. No one ever went broke banking a profit, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Lots of volatility in the market. PPC, which after the three bidders disappeared, is now back at 7 Rand a share. So it's a little bit confusing, but I think people are just believing that PPC actually is a true recovery story from where it was. And it was trading very cheaply, but, you know, every time I say that now, after Steinhoff, I get, like, very antsy. Because I said that for most of last year, end of last year. I was like, Steinhoff, so cheap. And then that happens. Once bitten and all that. Can I weigh in on Bitcoin or cryptocurrency?
I'm sure you have lots to say. You must have spoken to a lot of people over the holidays.
I did, because then I actually had time to do it, so I did go and have a look. So last year, Bitcoin was up 1,200%. I mean, compare that to our best share, which was up 138%.
Sure.
Ripple was up 35,000%.
Yes, 35,000.
I mean, that's just crazy. But there was an article that I have to tell you about on Bloomberg recently, which spoke about the underworld, in inverted commas. They didn't put it in inverted commas. I'm putting it in inverted commas. Moving away from Bitcoin and into something called Monero.
Yes, which is run, was started by a South African guy.
The underworld?
Because that's where cryptocurrency started.
Okay.
So cryptocurrency really was started so that people could do devious, unlawful transactions, arms dealing.
Well, no, they could do things without government being involved in them. They're not always devious. Doesn't mean they're all nasty and underworld.
See, that's not how we see it. We see it as really a dark currency, like for the dark web.
Okay, I want some.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there was devious elements in it. That's kind of how humans operate in every sphere.
Come on. Like, people aren't using fistfuls of dollars to buy arms and drugs and all kinds of other things in the real world?
But
of course they are.
It kind of sounds like a lot of shared portfolio. It's like Marcus Yuster was in the underworld of his mistress's resources and estate houses.
It sounds like things that happen a lot when money is involved. Yeah. And lots of it.
And power. Enron and all those other kind of
things. So let's not start worrying and shaking in our boots about Monero when we've already got
No, no, no. It's not about worrying and shaking. It's just about not being hypocrites about it when other people are also breaking the law.
Let's
have an understanding that
the
devious
Guptas
activity happen wherever money is involved. Like
the Guptas managed to rip us off in rands. So let's worry about Monero when we get to it. We can't even control the flow of rands at this point into nefarious places. Huh? Don't you agree?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point.
And wouldn't you rather not have elected politicians getting their dirty hands all over your money?
No, I just want to benefit at the end of the day. I'm tired of being the only one who's not benefiting. Like, point blank.
Right.
Yeah, but hopefully you had some Naspers shares, my belly, and that was up 72%. Mm. Right? So I think, I mean, you can't go for the huge, big 1,000% gains because you know that's not sustainable, right? Or do you guys genuinely think that 1,000% per annum is sustainable?
Look, I don't know enough to have such a strong opinion. All I can go on is the different warnings that I hear from different spheres. I mean, you're one of the people who speaks out heavily against cryptocurrency, and then you have the people on the extreme opposite end who are in huge favor of it. Somewhere in the middle, I have to make a decision.
Yeah.
On that note, we are going to have a sort of daily thing with Run, where he's going to come in and do cryptocurrencies almost daily for us. A little 5-minute podlet, which we'll put together for you daily if you are into that, because a lot of people are. And we need to satisfy your hunger. So yep, that's something we'll be looking at this year.
But I think sustainable or whatever it is part of our lives. We can all agree on that. Mm. So
Of course,
it'll never have the same year again because people lose confidence. Because that last December kind of blip, everyone was like, whoa, okay, maybe I'm not going to put so much in. But they'll still look at other things like Ripple and all the other stuff.
And slow and steady sometimes always is the one to go with, right?
Sure.
I mean, Anthea, you've watched markets for years now.
Decades.
You know what this is all about. Sometimes when you see those spikes and those drops, it's terrifying. And you don't want to lose money. Losing money is the thing you're trying to avoid.
Absolutely. I've always said that, though, right? This business is not only about making money. So investing is not only about making money or finding the shares that double or quadruple. It's also about avoiding the shares that plummet 93% if you can. Mostly we're not bad at it.
Yeah.
But the sign off, you know, when management lies to you, there's nothing you can do about it.
That's not the asset manager's fault.
No.
Sure.
And then a few other companies in the news. MTN has assigned a $231 million shareholder loan to a small African phone tower group called IHS, which is going to lead to a 2.8 billion rand loss for them. I know. So they returned to profitability in the first half last year, but now because of writing down this loan or reallocating the loan.
So what, did these guys just take the money and run?
No, not at all. So this money they're going to use for rollout in towers in Nigeria, and it really is just a change in balance sheet structuring. And the point of this is that they are
doing balance sheet restructuring.
No, they were doing off balance sheet underworlding. That was something completely different. So actually, that's a good point, because this is exactly what Steinhoff would have done, except they wouldn't have told us about this loss. So they would have taken money from Steinhoff International, put it into these three companies, and the names of the companies are, there was Genesis, there was, oh God, I forget the names of the companies.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, they're off balance sheet, and they would move the money there, and then not tell us about the loss that they printed.
Oof.
And that's how they caught us out.
All right. MTN has just made a loan.
They've moved the shareholder loan to African Power, this IHS, this African Power Tower, phone tower group, and it's going to show as a loss on MTN's balance sheet.
All right.
Which is fair.
Okay.
And then Uber, some offshore news. Travis Kalanick is selling 29% of his 10% holding in Uber to SoftBank. Now, this is interesting because, and it's quite a big story, because Travis has always boasted, like literally boasted, that he will never sell shares in Uber. The one good thing about it, for him anyway, is that it now officially makes him a billionaire. Like, before he was just a paper billionaire, you know, mm-hmm. he just had shares in a company that was unlisted. Now he's worth 1.4, the shares he's selling at least.
$1.4 billion
he's going to get is 1.4.
All right.
Which, of course, values Uber at $48 billion.
Well, isn't that smart? Because you really only, most people, most fantastically successful people, only have that one big success story in their lives. You know, if you're Zuckerberg, you're not going to have another Facebook. If you're Travis, you're not going to have another Uber. If you're Bill Gates, you're not going to have another Microsoft. So cash out when you do that, when you realize like you've got as much value as you're going to get out of this, sell some of the shares.
What do you think that means for us as investors, though? I mean, okay, so it's not listed, but if it was listed, what do you think it would mean?
It obviously means people go, oh, there's a problem. We're going to sell two, and then it starts a run on the shares,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That is the problem. And in fact, this company called Benchmark, who were early investors in Uber, are also selling their stake now. So definitely there's something going on. People are nervous and...
All right, I still think Uber's a great idea, though.
Of course it is.
I still think it works.
The problem also is that there's more competition now, right? So they were front runners,
right.
They were ahead of the market, and now there's competition.
There are lots of them. There are even local ones.
Absolutely, yeah. And then Tesla put out some news last week saying that they did not meet their Model 3 production for the final quarter of 2017. They only made 1,550 Model 3s when they were expecting to make 2,900. Of course, the problem with this is that now all the analysts are saying, well, does it look like they're going to have another capital raise? Do they need to make money? But actually, you know, the share was up 46% last year, and I looked at the S&X production numbers, and they actually beat expectations. So last year, between S and X, they made 101,312 versus an expected 100,000 cars. So they're not doing terribly. You know, it's okay. I think everyone got really scared last week, but Tesla looked like they're still on track to make numbers. And then the last thing we need to talk about is that the U.S. created 148,000 jobs last December versus an expected 190,000, which is a lot lower than November's 228,000. And of course, you know, at the last Fed meeting, they were all saying that they're ready to increase interest rates and off we go. But I think this jobs number last week or the week before has really made the Fed a little bit nervous. And they're still saying inflation also still too low. They just haven't seen that. Unemployment still 4.1% in the U.S., which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you want to see very quickly how we fared against other stock markets last year?
No. Are we ready to be bitterly disappointed? Go ahead, Andrew.
So we
go
did.
Ahead.
So we returned. The JSE returned 17.5%. In the U.S., the S&P 500, 19.4%.
Oh,
so slightly below.
Okay.
Dow
okay.
Jones, 25%. NASDAQ, 28.2%. So, okay, we underperformed the U.S. In Europe, though, the DAX, which is the German index, was 12.5% up. The CAC, which is CAC 40, which is the French index, was only 9.4% up. So we beat them. And the FTSE, which is the UK index, was only 7% up. So we're not that bad.
Okay. No. So
this is in local currency, of course, right?
All right.
So if you add the fact that the RAND increased by 11%, we've actually done, in dollar terms, quite a bit better than 17.5%.
All right, I should have checked my pessimism at the door is what I should have done.
Very good.
All right, guys, that's it.
Thank you, Anthea.
I'll see you next week with
terrific.
Lots more news.
Terrific. Anthea Gardner and a look at the money next week, same time, same place, The Money Shot. CliffCentral.com. If you missed anything, get the podcast. CliffCentral.com.